Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right. Well, happy Wednesday, everyone. And I hope everyone's enjoying the beginning of Hump Day. You know, Wednesday is that day where we're in the middle of the week, climbing the hump, trying to get over what we were overwhelmed with in the beginning of the week. Now, you know, every week on Workshop Wednesdays, we bring on people to the show that are going to help business owners and people in general out there get through their day, their week, and their year. The hard part for the listeners is applying the steps that were discussed on the show. And when I say that, I include myself because a lot of times I hear some great information and I take a lot of notes, but I don't always get to apply them. Have you ever been to an event? Maybe it was a local networking event or a conference or a workshop in your area. Maybe it was at church. You just heard some great stuff and you thought about, man, I really need to put that into place. But you never took the steps once you hit the fresh air and got back on the road again of life. And I know we all get busy in life, especially in today's world. Everything's quick, accessible, and just crazy fast. I drove to another part of Texas yesterday, College Station. It's about an hour and a half from Houston. And as I'm driving there, it's a lot of open highway, and the speed limits are 75 miles an hour. So it's really, you know, an enjoyable ride. You get to get there pretty fast. Not a lot of traffic. But what I noticed was a lot of people were on their phones and staring at their phones. And, you know, you see that person that they're weaving a little bit, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and too early to be, you know, intoxicated yet. Well, I have found that a lot of people out there are intoxicated with their phone. Incredible. When you see signs on the road that say, don't text, don't talk, you know, just drive, it makes you start to think about what's coming in our future. Now, they talked about banning phones, and they talked about this, and they talked about that. But one of the things that you don't hear a lot about is over 7,000 people this year have died in the state of Texas on their phone from a car accident, from being on their phone. Now, that's incredible. I mean, really think about it. How important could it be to be on that phone? I mean, unless you're late for brain surgery, I don't really think it's that important. There's no deal in the world that could be that important where you're willing to risk your life and others. So I want you to think about that a little bit as we talk about today's show and how in our daily day, how we find ourselves thinking that certain things are urgent, things are so important, when at the end of the day, they really don't matter that much. I'll give you for instance. Every day when I wake up, I look at my to-do list, I look at my calendar, I try to figure out which direction I'm going to go in. I know how I planned it out, but maybe I didn't plan it right, so I'm always trying to improve. And that's good, right? I think that's what we're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, what really matters? Is what I get to check off on my to-do list? Is it showing up for all my appointments on time on my calendar? Is it being able to set up the next day? For me, I think all of that is important, but what comes in the top of the list is the relationships that I build throughout that day. Now, maybe I made some calls and the calls were not yes, and maybe they weren't no's. But what was important is how I left that conversation to be available for the next call, the next connection, the next appearance, the next opportunity. And that comes to my relationship, what I was doing on the phone. Was I selling? Was I inquiring? Was I offering? Was I having conversation? Was I getting to know the person on the other line of the phone better? Was I able to understand what their needs were? And were their needs something that I could supply? And if I couldn't, did I just hang up the phone or did I continue talking to them to find out if there was some way I could help them through resources that I might have or might run into later? Most of us, as I said, are in a busy world. We just check off our boxes. No, okay, next. No, okay, next. Well, the older I get, I learn that it's not yes or no, okay? It's not win or lose. It's more win-win. In order to do a win-win, you have to invest more time than you would normally on a win-lose. Because what happens is, once you discover that you're not going to be successful at conversion on that client or that prospect at that immediate time, most people get to the exit part of their conversation and move on. Now, I'm not saying spend hours with people that there isn't much opportunity with. What I'm saying is spend time with people to find out how you can build a relationship with them that could grow into opportunity down the road. You know, it's kind of like investing in yourself, okay? That's why a lot of people save money to go on a vacation. Why? So that when it comes time to go on vacation, they can do it. Well, a lot of times in business, you have to invest time in relationships. And do they all work out? No. And does every time you plan a vacation, did it work out exactly the way you planned it? No. Sometimes it's even better, and sometimes it's even worse. But the fact of the matter is, you had a plan. So in your to-do list, in your calendar, do you place somewhere in there the importance of building relationships? You know, I spoke yesterday in College Station, as I mentioned, to a Tough Talk Business Network. That's the other side of the umbrella for Tough Talk Radio. And I spoke to a group of business owners about when their networking is not working. Now, listen, if you're a business owner, if you're a neighbor, if you're a stay-at-home parent, if whatever that you do in life is something of importance, then you need to network. Okay, you need to know who your surroundings are. You need to know who the people in the area of your business are. You need to build a relationship with them so you can gain access to more opportunity. So a lot of times when you're out there networking, what is it that you're doing? Is it like a plan for you? Is it a project? You know, we have a project. We have to have a step-by-step plan so the project is successful. I mean, there's people out there, and I'll use myself as an example. I buy something at IKEA and put it together, and then I check the directions to see if they wrote them right. Well, you know, sometimes that doesn't always work out. And in business and in life, it's important to have a plan. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to adjust your plan or that it's set in gold or that it's going to work, but you have to have a plan. So when you're out there networking, what is your plan? I ask people this all the time. Do you just show up and see what happens? Is it a contest to hand out every card you had printed with your name on it? Is it like dating where you want to make sure that you met some really nice people and you have to go out on another date with them by having a follow-up call or an appointment with them? And does it have to do with only wanting to sell them, or does it have a little bit to do with knowing more about them? I ask these questions all the time. And a lot of times people give me that look like I'm growing a third eye in the middle of my forehead. But the truth of the matter is, I have that conversation with myself a lot of times because I want to make sure that when I take steps in my business, that I have the best chance to be successful. And in order to do that, you have to examine your steps. You have to examine your list. You have to examine your calendar. You have to really look deep in the mirror and look at yourself. Are you being accountable for the things that you want to do? By placing steps in place to take that action. Now, I know I don't get it every day. I never get 100. I always get 98, 94, 92. Sometimes I get a 75, okay, because I grade myself. Are you grading yourself? Are you being honest with yourself? Have you hired an instructor or a coach, like a teacher at school, that would grade you? So that you would be able to do better, because I know one thing about solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and people in general, we don't like to fail. We don't like to disappoint. We like to show up looking good. So get yourself someone that's going to put that in place for you. Get creative. Use the internet for more than just shopping on Facebook or sending an Instagram. Use it to find out what other people are doing, who could come in and help you with what you're struggling with. Get someone to help you decide what your strengths and weaknesses are and work on your weaknesses and help others with your strengths. That's my little piece for today. So I hope that you guys will take action on what it is that you want to get done. You can share that with us by calling into the show, 347-989-1363. Let me repeat it for you, 347-989-1363. You can always hit me up on Facebook at Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio on Facebook as well. You can hit me up on Twitter at it's TTR Network, at TTR Network. Love for people to connect with us. You can email me, Tony at Tony Gambone. You can come on the show anytime and be a guest on any of the shows on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com, clicking on the Hosted Shows tab, and going to that show that you like and register to be a guest. Now, make sure you're willing to bring great information. We're always looking for authors and speakers because they're spreading some great stuff. But if you haven't written a book and you're not a speaker yet, but you're doing some really good things in your area, love to hear from you. Okay? So you can go to TonyGambone.com and schedule some time with me, and we can figure out where you're a best fit. My show today is with a gentleman that I met about, I want to say 2 months ago. His name is Dion McGinnis, and he's the president and founder of the Empowerment Creativity Institute. And so he states that he became a photographer at 6, a writer at 12, a poet since birth. In one way or another, every phase of this life has been driven by empowering others using creativity and encouraging creativity in others. It's early yet, right? Got to get these lips moving. Dion is someone that I found to be very much like-minded. He really doesn't know about the individual. He really wants people to be empowered by learning more about others. And when you learn about others, you can really recommend things to them that will show their strengths. And in today's world, sometimes maybe it feels like people don't take enough time to stop out and learn a little bit more about the person they were sitting next to at an event. Or, you know, we can't do that when we're driving in our vehicles, right? We're usually in another world, some of us texting on our phone and some of us complaining about the people next to us driving. But what do you do in your day to find out a little bit more about people that you don't know? I always say it's easier to work with someone if you know a little bit more about them. It's easier to like them if you know a little bit more about them. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring Dion up on the show. We're going to find out all the things that we talk about here on Workshop Wednesday, where he's from, where he's from originally, where he's at now, what made him crazy enough to do what he's done, and what is it that he's done, and what is he doing today to help others with what he's learned. So make sure to stay tuned, fill up the coffee, get another bottle of water, and make sure to get a clean sheet of paper and a pen, because we're going to be able to take some great notes here today. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Okay, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm your host here every week from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Radio Network. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, this is the first time you're stopping by, make sure to go to Facebook, Tough Talk Radio, like us, and stop by Tony Gambone on Facebook and connect with me. Love meeting new people every single day of the week. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find out more about the hosted shows here at the Tough Talk Radio Network. And to be a guest on this show, you can go to workshop-wednesdayswithanS.com, register to be a guest, and bring what you're doing to the airwaves. And just so you know, I just read some facts that over 140 million people per month listen to internet radio. So if you're out there and you're trying to get your message heard, this is an opportunity that you want to look into. Okay, so my first guest today, as I mentioned, is a new friend from the National Speakers Association here in Houston. His name is Dion McGinnis, and I hope I'm saying his last name properly. Dion, welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir. I'm happy to be here. It's a great way to spend the morning with you.
And so your last name, am I pronouncing that correctly?
McGinnis, correct.
Okay, great. Okay, so I mentioned that we met here in Houston at an NSA breakfast. Is this where you're from originally?
Actually, if I'm going to be totally honest, I was born in San Antonio because I was preemie. But as soon as I got out of the hospital, we were in Houston, and that was 1956. I lived in the same house all my life, and I've been in the Houston area for all but 4 years when I worked at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. So this is home.
Yeah, and so, you know, Dion, I want to give everyone your website so they can follow. And it's just your name, DionMcInnis.com. And, you know, we talk about empowerment all the time, and your organization is the Empowered Creativity Institute. Now, before we get to all that, I just want to take people down that journey that got you to where you are today. We were born in the same year, so it's a very special year in my mind. But along that travel, this year I'll be 59 years old, and I figured out why I had to go through these different directions in my life so that I could teach what I'm teaching today. Take us along your journey. Where did it start, and how did you get to where you are today, what you're doing?
Well, that's a great question, Tony, and I agree with you that, you know, life's experiences make us who we are and give us the juice, as it were, to fulfill our calling. I got to start with my parents. I mean, I had great supportive parents who understood that everybody's got their own path. In fact, when my first wife and I were close to getting married, I was a freelance writer and photographer, and I talked to my dad about maybe getting into his accounting business. And he said, son, he said, I would love for one of my children to take over my life's work like this. He said, but I really don't think it's you. He said, but here, read this book and we'll talk. Well, I was also taking an accounting class at college at the University of Houston. And at the end of the semester, I came back to Dad and I said, Daddy, I love you, but this would kill me. And he smiled. He said, that's what I thought. And so, you know, they were always about empowering and encouraging me to be who I was. Mom always had a line that, you know, I was kind of late in riding a bicycle, late in jumping rope, and all these other kid things. And Mom always said, Dion, you will learn it when you're ready, and when you're ready, no one will stop you. And so those kind of lessons kind of happen over life. I went to a small school, St. Cecilia's in the Bunker Hill area, and then for high school I went to Straight Jesuit, which was a very consistent with this notion of empowering you through your thoughts, empowering you to use the ability that God gave you and do it for a purpose. And after that, I went to the University of Houston. It took me forever to get out, you know, so I was a pretty typical U of H student. You know, I fit that 4-year plan into 8 years. It was a tight fit, but I got it done. I was working as a freelance writer and photographer all that time. I did a lot of work really celebrating people. You know, the writing that I did and the photography that I did, whether it was annual reports or portraits or weddings, in those days, I was always trying to celebrate who the person was. And again, I go back to the influence of mom and dad. So in about the mid-1980s, when the Houston economy was in the toilet, it was one of those severe downturns for the oil industry. I had a wife, two kids, a mortgage, and very inconsistent income. So I got into higher education as a writer and a photographer, because that's what I've been since I was, you know, born, basically. And I thought I would be in higher education 3 years, Tony. 27 years later, I left higher education. At the time, I was the associate vice president for university advancement at University of Houston, Clear Lake, and which is not far from where my dad and I used to fish when I was a kid. So it's all kind of come around in a wonderful, beautiful circle. But in April, I decided it was time that it's time to go out and fulfill that calling and use the gifts. For example, one of my programs is actually coming up on May 9th. It's called Discover and Polish the Pearls Within. And it really speaks to what you said, Tony, in that, you know, things happen in life. And just like the oyster sits on the bottom of the bay and that disrupting grain of sand over time becomes a pearl, becomes a treasure, the things that happen in our lives and disrupt our lives, whether positively or negatively, become treasures. And we need to be able to wear them and own them and let them be part of who we are.
Mm. So, you know, as I listened to you, and you said you took 8 years to get out of U of H, and you said that your mom said that you would, once you got it, you would be good with it. It might take you a little bit longer. And as we go through life, Dion, you know, I use myself as an example. You know, I was going through life as hard as I could to get to where I thought I was supposed to go, and then all of a sudden we get to this point in our lives where we can now look back and understand all them bumps in the road were just speed bumps, not a bumpy road kind of thing. And, you know, how long did it take you before you got to that point where, you know, you said, hey, you know, I know that jobs made you go a certain way and things in life go a certain way, but when did you recognize the value that you were carrying with yourself to teach others?
That's another good question. You ought to do this all the time, Tony.
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
I guess it was fairly early on that I started to get some encouragement and reminders that I saw things differently, and by sharing those things, it helped people. I tried to use that in my jobs at the four universities. I tried to use it as a lay minister and a little league coach, and I tried to use all those factors all the time in my life. And I use stories a lot to help teach some basic wisdom and knowledge, and it was because of people's encouragement that I turned that into my first book, which is called Listen to Life, Wisdom and Life Stories. And so, you know, I've been affirmed all my life, and I've been and lucky and blessed for that. But I knew over probably the last 10 years, Tony, I knew that there was going to have to be a change in how I could put enough time into it, and that, you know, I couldn't serve two masters fully. I couldn't serve, you know, higher education fully and this what I really believe is a true calling to help others. But it just never seemed like the opportunity was right. You know, the boy's mom and I divorced 13, 14 years ago, and life happened, and it just wasn't appropriate for me to step out and jump into the deep end. But, you know, the right things lined up, and I believe in prayer, and I believe in listening, and there was that little voice that said, okay, buddy, let's go. So here we go. But I'm lucky and blessed that I've been affirmed all my life, but I see things a little bit differently, and it helps people.
Well, you know, it takes a while for us, not just you. I mean, I'm in that same group, but I see it quickly. I learn it slower. And once I have a hold of it, it's just hard to release it, you know, and then there's that connection where you have to let it go. So, I mean, it's part of life, right? Like you said, and sometimes
Absolutely.
Things happen in our lives and we can't understand it. until God brings us down a path far enough where, well, okay, now we get it, okay? And thank God for that, because I think we'd mess it up if we knew going along the path what was going to take place.
Right.
But moving forward, okay, I know that I've had conversation with you in the back of the room at the MSA during the breaks. And every time I stopped talking to you, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more. And one of the reasons I think that is because you were basically interviewing me, asking questions about me, showing that you cared about what was going on with me. And I'm a big believer that when people are out there, I call that networking. Okay, some people call it prospecting. I think networking sounds a little softer. But how do you find out about people unless you keep asking questions about them and make sure your response about you is short when you're asked? How did you learn that?
Yeah, I don't know. And to all your listeners, you got a pretty amazing life, Tony. I mean, just the things that we talked about, it's a really cool life and a lot of neat pieces that have come together. And I guess that, maybe it's the influences of mom and dad. If you're into Myers-Briggs, I'm an INFP, which is a teacher, counselor, mentor, minister type of personality, which is more of a listening type of personality anyway. But, even all my life, I've always been fascinated by the things that we learn by listening to each other. My mom was born to Polish immigrants in 1916. My dad was born to a deep southern culture in Mississippi, cotton farmers and chicken farmers, and that was in 1913. And so I heard a lot of wonderful stories growing up. And in hearing those stories is how I really learned about my roots that I finally connected to last summer when I went to Mississippi. And so I guess I've always had a life influence of gaining wisdom and insight just by closing my mouth and listening. I'm naturally very shy. If I have a purpose, I love to engage people. Otherwise, I'll sit and watch. I don't go in to take over a crowd and see how many cards I can hand out. I'm a pretty quiet, shy guy. But the listening has given me so much richness. That's why I did that first book, the Listening to Life book, because Buddhist wisdom, Tony, says that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But I feel like if we listen to other people, we have teachers every day, every moment. Whether it's the grocery stocker at the store or, the homeless guy on the street or your kids or your spouse or your friends or your colleagues or people you meet at the back of the room at the National Speakers Association. Everybody can give us so much wisdom if we just let them start to open up. And to me, it's a gift to be able to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of times, I'm going to go back to networking again because I think that, on Thursdays I do a Christian show and I'm always talking about Jesus being the original networker, I often say that, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And then I have that argument with myself, well, he gave us two lips, so does that equal out or whatever it is, right? But most of the time,
keep it closed.
Right. Something to hold on to. And so that's a good point. But the thing of it is a lot of people don't mean any harm. You're just excited or ready to get to the next level. And sometimes it almost seems like they'll mow down everybody to get there. And I have a hard time believing that inside them is that real idea. They don't leave their house with, in mow down mode. They leave their house in a hope mode, maybe too hope, much hope. So when someone that you meet is coming at you at a fast pace with their conversation and not really asking a lot of questions, how do you, for lack of better words, how do you get out of that situation? Like for me, I stick out my hand and say, hey, it was great talking to you. I want to make sure that everybody gets to meet you. What is your way of getting out of that?
That's great. And I agree with you, too. I don't believe people are intending to, but most people are not intending to mow at the crowd, like you said. And I think part of it's nervousness. Part of it feels like they have to accomplish the goals. I think part of it's insecurity. They're it takes some risk to ask people to reveal themselves and talk to them honestly. But if I've got somebody who's just, you know, nonstop talking and not really interested in a relationship, they're just interested in selling, you know, just because they're interested in selling whatever it is, themselves, their products, their ideas, their personality, that doesn't mean I'm interested in buying. And so, you know, if they're that type of personality, I'll just let them go for a while and then do like you said and say, you know what, let's introduce you around. Or, well, we're all here to network. I better go make the rounds. Got more cards to hand out. You know, just something like that, that's kind of a little bit of a juke, as it were, a little bit of a move to kind of release them too. I think sometimes people get in that mode and they can't find their own release. They feel like they cannot deal with the silence. So they keep going and going and going, and you're actually doing them a favor by saying, hey, that was great information. You know, I bet you want somebody else to share that with too, or there's a lot of people here who need to hear that. And then you step out, and it's actually providing them the escape hatch that they needed.
And so when I want to go back to your books. There's so much. I'm really excited that I get a little bit more time than normal with you today, because there's a lot of things that you have on. And if you go to DionMcGinnis.com, it's DionMcGinnis.com, you'll be able to see a lot of different things. And one of the things I always tell my listeners, you're probably tired of hearing it, but sooner or later everybody's going to do it. Go to the website. It's a chance to get free information on what's going on around you to see if it's a good fit for you to learn from or to help someone else with. Remember, learning your weaknesses and knowing your strengths is a big part of your journey in life. So I'm on your page here for books, okay? And you have Dadian, Listen to Life, The Seeing, Not the Taking, and Listen to Life, A Journal to Remember Everyday Wisdom and Beauty. So what order did you write the books, and what brought that on, and how long ago did you start doing them?
I guess books have been inside me all my life. Like you, in part of your introduction, you mentioned my statement about, you know, photographer at 6, writer at 12, and poet since birth. And so I've had pen to paper basically all my life and really fell in love with it in eighth grade, and the fires were fueled in high school. And so I guess the books have always been there. What wasn't there was a way to package it. And the very of the books that you described, the first one out the door was Listen to Life. That came out in 2005. And Listen to Life was really a response to people saying, Dion, you share these stories and meetings and so forth, and they always help us understand, and they always give us knowledge and wisdom. Well, somebody had told me that in about 2002. So I started a newsletter called Listen to Life. It started out monthly, and then it went to twice a month, and then it went weekly. And when I had about 120 issues or editions, I edited it down to, I think, 95 or 99 and produced Listen to Life. And the feedback that I got was really wonderful. There's a retired pastor out here who uses it as part of his, you know, daily meditation. It's been used in team development. I've had people who are battling major health issues who say they just keep it on the nightstand and open it up to a random story and see what the inspiration is of the day. So that was the first book, and of course I've written the Listen to Life newsletters and now a blog that continues. The next book was The Seeing, Not the Taking. The idea from that is an idea that started long, long, long time ago in my photography, and that is that anybody can take a photograph, and it just gets easier and easier with all the new technology and gear. The question is, what do you see? You know, what is it that you see, and how do you see with all your senses? You know, how do you pick up on all these influences to create the image that has moved you? And so I wrote that book, and I teach that class at a variety of places, including Houston Center for Photography. And it's just a way to help people start to to get in touch with all their senses, and then look at how words and images work together, and the words that you say are the guidance in what you need to do to create photos or sketches or paintings or anything. Well, the next book after that, I did a few other photography books along the way that are on that website. I created the Listen to Life Journal as a way to help encourage pause and see the beauty that's around us. And also to do it in a way that provides a thought. Okay, so it's, again, words and images blended. There will be a photograph and a message or two to help people understand that no matter where they are and no matter what they're doing, you know, there's beauty and wisdom right next to them. For example, there's a photograph of the sunset in the journal, and it says, "Hanging around for soccer practice turned out to be a pretty good idea. Moments for and of beauty are always available if we slow down." And so, you know, it's just things to encourage people to pause and see the beauty that's around us. And then, of course, the book that really describes who I am at my core is Dadden. And the premise of that, Tony, is that, you know, mothers have a verb. When a mother mothers her child, that creates, you know, images in people's minds of nurturing and caring and all these wonderful things. But, you know, if you went home and told your significant other, "Hey, I saw a man fathering a child in the parking lot," you know, the connotation of to father in our society is not exactly anything more than biological. So if you say you saw a man fathering a child, people were thinking that he was just procreating in the parking lot. And so in 1996, I wrote in a journal that dads needed a verb. And I came up with Dadden. I first introduced that term in my Listen to Life book. And then I struggled in how to tell that story in a book, because I'm lucky to have had the dad I had. So I'm son to a father and father to three sons, and now grandfather to three granddaughters with a fourth one coming. And I thought, how do I tell that? So it took about five or six attempts, Tony, to get the book organized in a way that made sense. And what I ended up doing is each chapter of the book is another verb. It's the things that we do as dads. It's having, loving, fishing, playing, growing, leaving, living. You know, and then in those chapters are stories and poetry and essays and musings of life as son to a father and father to three sons. It's a very personal book, but it also, I think, shows the beauty and utter joy of being a dad. And there are more books coming. That came out in 2010. And in fact, I received my author's copy of that book 48 hours before my first granddaughter was born, Tony. It was awesome. And you mentioned College Station, and that's where she was born. And I gave the first copy of the book to my son at the hospital saying, "Welcome to the club." And the last chapter was actually a love letter to her. She wasn't born at the time I wrote it. And so it was really cool to be able to give the first copy to my oldest son for the first granddaughter being born.
It's interesting, you know, we write compilation books here, and I'm always getting people to write a 2,000-word chapter about their journey in life, not about their business, but their journey in life. And they always struggle with that because they don't know if it's going to sound right. They don't think it's interesting. They don't know their own value. And what if people don't like them? What if they know the truth? When I wrote my own story from you know, my journeys through 50-some years of life, my parents, my relatives, my children, and I worried about how it would sound. Did it come off wrong? And then I had to deal with the truth is the truth, and it's the story that I'm telling. And then I worried, well, what about what my children are going to think? Because it's leaving a written legacy, and it can't be changed in conversation as it's told. So
right.
I came to a point in my life where I said, you know what, this is the way it is. People need to learn from it. I need to learn from it. And when my children read it, I was pleasantly surprised at how they received it. So when your children read the book, I probably know the answer to this, but for me, it was the best gift received. It was like winning a prize for it. How was your response from your children, and how did you receive that?
They really enjoyed the book. They were very proud of the book. They were proud of the story, and they were proud of me. One of the sons, who's a little bit more detail-oriented, said, well, there's two facts that I think are a little bit different than you remember them, Dad. So they were little things, and I said, well, you know, I appreciate the clarification. We laughed. Another son got to a part in the book. He said, Dad, I had to stop reading. It's the chapter on leaving. And I said, well, and leaving in the book has to do with, you know, parents leave, there's divorce, parents leave, they die, kids leave, they grow up. You know, there's various types of leaving, but I think parenting is a catch and release sort of thing. So, you know, it's there's different types of leaving. And he said, I couldn't go through that chapter. I said, there's nothing in there that we haven't already talked about, buddy, you know? And he said, yeah, but some leaving is permanent. I can't get to that. I don't want to deal with that thought right now. And so it's a very personal book. And I think that they feel kind of special that their life is bundled up in this. And I want to touch on something you said, Tony, because it's hugely important. And that notion of fear of sharing stories, what will people think? Have we said it carefully enough? And Carl Rogers is one of the great psychologists in the early 20th century. And he wrote a book. It's actually a collection of essays called On Becoming a Person. And in that book, Tony, he talks about what he describes as the deeply spoken story. And he said that if we were to share those deeply spoken stories, those stories that come from deep within us, the stories that we feel like other people would not understand, that's actually the ones they do understand. And when we speak deeply like that and share with people authentically, people connect to others that way. Okay, because rocks and critters can't do that, but we can speak about experiences and emotions and feelings that another person can understand. And when we get beyond the superficial and get to those deeply spoken stories, we actually connect better. And whether that's in our family situation or in the conversations at the networking event like you described, if we can get into a story that is a little bit deeper, not superficial, then we connect. And so when people talk to you and they're afraid of sharing their story, you know, reference that if you need to. I mean, because that's how we connect, that's how we learn, that's how we engage, is with those deeply spoken stories. And Thomas More, the author, not Saint, he said that when we share stories that don't support the status quo, that we can actually affect change that way. And so, again, when we get beyond the superficial elevator speech and speak genuinely, we can change relationships, understanding. We can change the moment. Right? So, very long answer to a short question, but I guess that's the way I roll, right?
Yeah, no, and well put. And so we're coming towards the end, and I just want to touch on something that was taking place at the last meeting that we were at. And I just want to make sure, if you're in the local Houston area and you're interested in joining the NSA breakfast, I can tell you it is well worth going to. It's a lot of great information. There was a lady there by the name of Lois Creamer, who she was the speaker. And she mentioned something that I talk about all the time, so I guess that's why I had a huge connection with her right away. And it was repurposing everything that we do. I'm a big believer that majority of the people are looking for a new shiny thing to make what they're trying to do easier to do. And I would say 99% of the time, all the gold is at our feet. It's something that we tried and dropped because we weren't patient enough to keep going forward. What do you feel in your daily day that you are taking? And, I mean, we've just shared our lives, right? How you got to where you are. You're repurposing that by doing what you do daily, speaking, authoring books, and coaching people. Do you find that you are able to repurpose more stuff once you allow people to know the real you by telling your story.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. When you engage people and you're genuine and authentic, that is so refreshing and so welcome doors or the windows, both sides. And once that is open and the conversations begin and they're, again, genuine and safe and respectful, then more information is exchanged. Well, what is repurposing if it's not the exchange of information for mutual growth and development? And so, you know, the shoeshine sales story, for example, and it's a story, short version of the story, is experience I had with a shoeshine man that provided six wonderful tips that relate to sales and fundraising. That was a simple experience, okay? But I use it in workshops. I use it in presentations. It'll be part of a presentation that I'm doing at Microsoft in the Baybrook Mall on May 7th, Tony. It's called Affecting Change and Empowering Sales. Well, this shoeshine sales story has been repurposed so many different ways because it's just a good story that helps people understand how to feel comfortable with and be successful in sales. And so the more we repurpose information, you know, what's the ultimate repurposed information, Tony? You know, the Bible, right?
Right,
how about
right,
that?
Exactly.
How about that great little line, love one another? We still haven't gotten the hang of that. So we have to repurpose that message 24/7, right? And hopefully someday it'll kick in.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a funny story. I had to reinvent myself 7 years ago from what my background is a casino, and then I had remodeling business. And now I do what I do through a process that I found through an experience, of course. And I was reading self-help books, the Zig Ziglars and the Brian Tracys and Napoleon Hill and all these great books. And then I started reading the Bible and found out where everybody got all their information. They just repurposed it to their personality to help others get through the process. So I think repurposing is something that's been going on for a long, long time. Some people say others stole my information. I like to try to say that I was glad to be able to present something that someone else could use. Doesn't always blow out that way in the beginning, because sometimes we say things that we're sorry for afterwards, but that's where that two ears, one, you know, one mouth thing comes in. But it's important to understand that everything under the sun is free, and if you can use it to help others, that's what it's there for. So I think that you're on to something here.
Well, thanks.
I'm
having a great time. I mean, I had a great time leading up to this point in my life. Like my dad used to say, I don't want to be a second older than I am or a second younger than I am. And I got here because of the path that I was on. But I'm having a wonderful time being able to help people and empower people and encourage people to see their innate creativity and how that has come to them through God's gifts and through the life experiences that they've had. Now, what do we do with that? And I think that's what my call and my mission is to help people do something with that.
Well, let everyone know how they can get in touch with you. And I just want to mention real quickly, if they go to your website, if they're in the local area, they can see your upcoming events in May. You're in a couple of different areas, and you're down in the Baybrook area, Friendswood Clear Lake area as well. So if you don't know Houston, it's the fourth largest city in the country, and what's even greater than that is all the communities of cities around the city of Houston. So you could take an hour getting somewhere, and that just shows you how much opportunity is in this area. So if they go to your website, DionMcGinnis.com, and look at schedule upcoming events, they can come and meet you in person. But how can they get you to speak at their events or just connect with you?
I appreciate that, Tony. Probably the most effective way is an email. There's a contact form on the website, of course, but also at the top of the website, there's my email address. It's real tricky. It's Dion@dion.com. And I respond to all emails, and that would be the simplest way to get the ball rolling, and I would appreciate it. I look forward to it.
Well, Dion, I really appreciate your time today. I look forward to seeing you at the next event next month, and I look forward to following some more. I want to read the quote that's on your website. It says, empower your creative abilities to those and others, and you will be connected and fulfilled in whatever you do. That's huge, dude. I mean, that is really something that people should read. So go to DionMcGinnis.com, the Empowered Creativity Institute, and learn more about how you can improve yourself, okay, which will improve others around you. Dion, thanks again for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I enjoyed it.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Entrepreneurs, it's time to get real. Stop working so hard and learn to do the things that matter. If your business is not successful and you know your stuff and are getting results for your clients, it's not your fault. The good news is you can change it and your bottom line. All it takes is having the right strategy and being able to follow a consistent plan for your business success. Learn how at Michelle Sism's 3-day event in Houston in September. Go to TakeActionGetProfits.com to learn more.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. And if you missed the show today, well, you missed a really good interview with my friend Dion McGinnis. You can learn more about him by going to DionMcGinnis.com. You can go to Workshop-Wednesdays.com and listen to the replay of the show. You can find it on my Facebook page. You can find it on Tough Talk Radio Facebook page as well. Just go to Google search bar and type in Workshop Wednesdays, and you'll see the shows come up. Anyway, great show today. It's about empowering others and knowing the value that you bring and understanding that telling your story is important, not only for the people around you, but it will empower you more than you ever imagined. It will allow you to understand what you've been doing and why. And it'll allow you to recognize all the things in your life that you just took for granted. So be sure today to connect with someone. Have a conversation with them. Maybe just sit down by yourself and go through what's going on in your life and all the little things in your journey. Make a note of it, okay? Start looking at your life's journey and how it has helped you. And then start trying to help others by learning their life's journey. It's something that you'll find very rewarding. Now, I mentioned in the show that we do a compilation book called Share Your Message with the World, and in July of 2014, it was an international bestseller. We had so much recognition for that book that people asked me to do a volume 2. So we have a volume 2 coming out in June, and I just wanted to make sure to let people know we have 3 spots available to fill that book up so that it'll be ready for launch date in June. If you're interested in doing that, hey, email me, tony@tonygambone.com. Tell me your interest, and let's set up a time and talk about it, see if you're a fit for the book. I know that you need to let people know who you are. This show proved it. Dion is a big advocate of sharing his message and showing people how to empower others by telling their message. So I hope you'll take a chance to think about that as well. We have another show coming on in 30 minutes, 35 minutes here at 12 o'clock noon Central Time called Legal Eagle and the Coach with David Altenberg and Brian Kaiser, the coach. David is the lawyer. And I'll tell you, folks, if you haven't heard that show, you're missing it because it's another great show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you've thought about hosting your own show, hey, contact us at toughtalkradionetwork.com. See how we can help you with the training that we provide for you to do your own radio show. We got a great week coming up with shows, so stay tuned. And we hope that we will see you next week, which will be a new month, and it'll be the fifth month of the new year. Time's going fast. Hope you're utilizing the time that you spend every day and making sure to take time out to spend with your family and your friends and also yourself. Hope everyone has a blessed week. I look forward to seeing you next week. And keep tuning in to Workshop Wednesdays. I wish everyone a good morning and a great day.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.